Hello and welcome everyone back. This is the fourth class in the 39 prohibited categories of creative labor, also known as our crafts course in Shabbat. You will find the materials for this class, archives of the previous classes, at www.teachitumi.com. Let us begin. Today we'll be going to be covering the next three melachot. We'll be covering tohen, grinding, hamrakid, sifting, and lash, kneading. So let's begin. What exactly is hatochen, language of the Mishnah, grinding? Well, it's the reducing an item down to smaller parts suitable for a new use, such as chopping, crushing, and pulverizing. Again, as we've said many times before, these are categories. So just because it says grinding, it doesn't necessarily mean to say that it has to be grinding in a grinder, as would normally be the case, as most people would think, but rather it means to say anything which does the grinding act, meaning things that grind things down, meaning that crush things down to smaller parts which are usable for a new use. Interestingly enough, we haven't talked too much, or singled out, I should say, specific rabbinical prohibitions that are connected to a melacha, but in this particular case, in this particular category of labor which is not allowed on Shabbat, we are going to do so. And the reason is because it is somewhat difficult for us to conceive the connection at first thought, and that is the rabbinical prohibition against therapeutic treatments of any kind. What happens is that historically speaking, when medicines would be ordered, they would be prepared by the pharmacist right there, meaning, or in this case, the doctor or whoever else, or the rabbi, whoever would be prescribing you some sort of herbs or whatever else have you, and they would be taken and then ground down right there on the spot into some sort of powder or material in order so that it should be added to your liquids, your teas, your coffees, whatever else have you, to be able to take in as internally. So what happens is the Rabbanim saw that the prescribing and the administering of therapeutic treatments would easily lead a person to violate this prohibition of grinding. And therefore, they made a rabbinical decree, they made a se'ag le'Torah, they made a fence for the Torah, a protection, in order to protect us from ourselves, meaning from our own general natures, and they made a prohibition against any therapeutic treatments. That means to say therapeutic treatments that would not necessarily even be related to the concept of grinding. So for example, a really vigorous massage to loosen up the muscles as a therapy would even be included on this. So let's go ahead and let's begin the do's, as we tend to do, as opposed to the don'ts first. So first of all, what can we do? Well, we can chew food. In other words, even though chewing is a grinding action, because it's going to be done immediately as part of the eating process, not a problem. That means to say also, by the way, that if you need to chew on food to hand to a small child or something along those lines, that would be fine also. Again, that goes on the principle of miyad, meaning it's going to be done right away for consumption at that moment, and that makes everything all right. Now, making Israeli salad for immediate use. Now, of course, it is better to make bigger pieces than usual to help avoid any possible halachic prohibitions. But the point is, if you are going to be cutting up vegetables in order to eat them now, meaning at this meal, then that's not a problem at all. Now, a person could go ahead and bash fruits with the back of a spoon or a plate, meaning mashing. Now, mashing potentially can be a real issue. You don't necessarily think about it. But what happens is that certain fruits, for example, like dates or figs, when they're mashed, they actually mass into little tiny subparticles that now have a new separate use. In other words, a whole date is a date, but then you have little pieces of date which then can then be used as a spread or things like that. So because they've changed their nature into something new as a result of the mashing, that still comes under the concept of grinding. But what happens if you bash fruits, for example, with the back of a spoon or plate? What happens is, like, again, you're doing this for immediate consumption, and the fact that you do it in this manner guarantees that by, again, using what's called a principle of kilachar yad, in other words, using the back of your hand, meaning it's an alternative, non-normal way of doing it. You are no longer in the normal fashion of doing things, meaning the normal way of performing the prohibited labor of work, and therefore enter into the rabbinical zone. And once one has done that, therefore the rabbis have permission for various reasons to be more lenient. So in this particular case, a combining of many different leniencies basically put together a situation that by bashing fruits, again, or with a spoon or the back of the plate or something like that, they may would eliminate all such problems, again, with taking a banana, for example, and smashing it then to feed to your child. Now, cutting fish into small pieces, that's all right also. Now, interestingly enough, I mean, mashing fish, you would think maybe that's a real issue. I mean, you're grinding it up. In a sense, you're making the fish into gefilte fish. Well, what happens is there's a principle, ein tochen ela begidule karka ba'ochlin, that when we're talking about food, in other words, in the food category, by the way, there can be grinding, for example, with things which are not food. So, for example, making sawdust would be an issue. But when it comes to foods, if they don't grow from the ground, such as the case here by fish, we say that the concept of grinding doesn't apply. So mashing meats and other foods which are not growing from the ground into little tiny pieces is not an issue and perfectly all right. So to go ahead and eat fish by mashing it to, for example, avoid bones or things like that getting stuck in your throat, God forbid, he says, therefore that would be no problem. Crushing a matzah into matzah meal, that's okay. Because we say, en tochen achrei tochen, there's no grinding after grinding. So because of the fact that matzah is already a compound that's put together from the grinding process that already happened to the wheat berries, now at this point, this new you know, flour material, which is now put together and baked into bread, or for this case matzah, still maintains, in other words, its individual status, and even grinding it down again now, in other words, making matzah meal out of it, isn't going to be a violation of this halacha. So as we just said, same thing goes for breadcrumbs. So making little crumbs of your bread to go ahead and sprinkle on your food or something would actually be alright, without a problem in terms of this malacha on Shabbat. Crushing peppercorns with the handle of a knife, this is a shinoi, as we said before. In this case, the same thing, using the back of the spoon or anything else. Taking medications for serious illness, painful or chronic illness. In other words, you shall live by the Torah, not die by it. The fact that the Rabbanim made a prohibition against therapeutic treatments does not mean to say that you don't take your heart medicine. Certainly doesn't mean you don't take your diabetes medicine or anything else like that, that God forbid you should be needing such things. But if you do, you certainly must take them. Do complete taking every dose of medication in a series of doses over time for an illness. That means to say that if somebody, for example, was suffering from a bacterial infection and was given penicillin to take for 7 days, they would continue to take the penicillin for the full length of the time. And the reason is that if you miss a dose, then you actually run into the possibility of the full dosage, meaning everything together, not working. Meaning you lose the whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle is gone, out the door, because of the fact that you were lax about taking the medicine as one of the treatments. Now, all this applies, by the way, for treatments for illness. If you have a treatment that says 10-day acne treatment, 10-day whiten your teeth treatment, or something else along those lines, that's not an instant heter now for you to do that. You should consult your rabbi and ask him exactly what needs to be done. In other words, if the treatment is a treatment that requires successive treatments, successive applications, but is not for an illness, and won't again potentially result in the entire thing being messed up as a result of missing one. So again, consult the rabbi about anything which is not of this nature. Taking vitamins to maintain health. A person who's healthy and has a regular regimen of supplementing his diet, meaning not as a cure for something, but rather just to maintain his health, that would actually be all right. Sprinkling a little bit of, for example, of a yeast powder or something along those lines, you know, in order to be able to add vitamin B to your food or something like that, it's all right, not a problem. Drinking hot tea for a cold, or drinking prune juice, that's all right. Derech Briim, this is the way that healthy people would consume these things. And even though you may have an ulterior motive here, it does not, in other words, because of the fact that it does not look like, or it's not directly connected with, in other words, the normal way of therapeutic treatments, because the people normally would do these things. I don't know who normally would drink prune juice, but I guess they're out there. The point is that if this is the way normal people would do things, then therefore it's okay for you to do them. Removing a splinter, removing a stinger, popping a painful boil, or stopping bleeding. All of these things are things which are preventing infection, preventing the onset of more serious issues. It also happens to be that they deal with things that penetrate the skin and various other factors, and therefore you are permitted to do all of these things. As in many ways here, we're talking about preventive measures. So, for example, going ahead and putting a putting on a non-medicated Band-Aid, for example, that would not necessarily be an issue. There may be some issues with opening up those Band-Aids and things like that, and we'll discuss that in a future Shurim. But the point is that putting on some sort of bandage or wrap on the bleeding material, on the bleeding part of the skin to prevent... Again, prevent things from going further, things like that, isn't going to be an issue. A medicated Band-Aid, though, is a direct treatment, and that's going to be an issue. Use of plain non-medicated powders. Putting a little bit of plain talc powder underneath one's arms to prevent chafing, or between one's legs to prevent chafing, things like that. It's there to absorb perspiration, not necessarily to cause any sort of cure. This is an absolute must, especially here in South Florida. You must use deodorant and antiperspirant sprays. And that's perfectly all right, as provided you're doing it directly onto your skin. I mean, not onto your clothing. So that will be all right. Eat or drink something with a medicine dissolved into food or drink before Shabbat and is not recognizably there. You know, various possibilities for dealing with different forms of medication that may not be for something so serious but necessary to you would be the possibility of absorbing it, meaning mixing it in with food so that it's no longer recognizable as a medicine. Providing you did that before Shabbat, before, then this would open up the doors to that possibility. Certainly, as we said many times, these shiurim are just sort of a quick review of all the 39 melachot. You certainly should consult with a rabbi. I try to be particularly machmir, meaning try to take the stricter sides of things, just to keep things on the safe side. But certainly, like I said, make sure to consult your rabbi about any specific issues that you might have. Putting ice on a wound. You get wounded, you get a bump, and you need to put some ice on it. Your kid's got a bump, and he's crying. Not a problem. Again, we're talking about the prevention here, not necessarily the direct treatment. Putting a little pressure on a wound, same sort of thing, not a problem. A person's allowed to eat an antacid before a meal. That's before, not during, not after. We're talking about before, meaning before you know there's a problem. If, for example, you're the type of person who happens to consume incredible amounts of meat, which are very acidic and not particularly good for your stomach, in extreme small amounts, no problem. But in lots of amounts, it's going to cause you a lot of heartburn. If you know you're going to be doing this to yourself, and you probably shouldn't be, then again, eating a little bit of antacids before the meal will help you considerably for after the meal. But once you've got that heartburn, the only thing you can hope to do is turn around and find some Korean radish or something else that might be good to tone down the heartburn, which is food, but you wouldn't necessarily be allowed to turn to antacids again. Now, what can't you do? Well, we certainly have touched on some of those things. Well, you can't grate any food with a grater. Well, you can't grate anything with a grater. Again, this is a specialized implement, meaning that makes it particularly difficult, particularly problematic, and you're using an implement to actually do the grating. That's even worse. So certainly don't be using any specialized instruments, something like that. Mashing dry figs or dates, we've already touched on. Can't do that. Well, as we mentioned before, no making of wood chips. I'm sorry, all of you out there that was just dying to grind wood on Shabbos. No go. Crushing rocks. No, you cannot take little rocks and pebbles and stomp on them and make powder into them and so forth. They're not food. They're not growing from the ground, but they also can't be ground. Splitting reeds into strips. I know everybody out there is just dying to make wicker baskets on Shabbat. No, you cannot do that. And you certainly can't even prepare that sort of thing. Thinly julienned vegetables for a later time. No go. No way. Sorry, can't be doing that. Again, what you should do is you can make chunks, make a little bigger this and that. Or if you're preparing for right now to eat, That's not such a problem. Again, ideally speaking, as we said before, you should try and make them a little larger than normal. But again, if it's for immediate consumption, cutting up your food small to put in your mouth and so forth and so on is probably not such a bad idea for your stomach, and okay, at least chew it very well before swallowing. Crushed candies, that is a problem. Remember before we talked about the idea of crushing matzahs and making matzah meal? Well, sugar. You crush sugar, right? Sugar, in other words, what's the problem here? Candies are made from sugar. Why can't I just crush it back into a powder? And the reason is no. Is the process of candying, the process of taking the sugar and melting it down, makes it into this new solid substance, meaning even though it is sugar in its mainstay, nevertheless, it has taken this new brand new form, and to crush this candy now, which is a new item, back down into, again, or to crush it into pieces of candy or whatever else have you, is going to be a sur, not allowed. Can't take pills or liquid medicine. Doesn't matter if it's pills or liquid, if it's chewy, if it's this, if it's that, if it's all therapeutic treatments are a problem. Okay, placing medicinal powders or lotions on the skin, same kind of problems. It's not necessarily just internal medicines, it's even external applications that are an issue. Apply herbal alternative medicines. Those of you out there who don't feel that you know, the alternative medicines that exist are medicine, well, regardless of what you think and what they may actually be, one way or the other, the halacha, though, still precedes your use of these things as being a medicinal use and is not allowed. So therefore, that would even include something as homeopathic medicines, which have like 1/1,000,000,000th to the cream or whatever else have you, and you might say, oh, what's in them anymore? Nevertheless, the fact that it is a medicinal and is called a medicinal, therefore it's treated as medicinal in halacha, and therefore you cannot apply those or treat yourself with those either. You know, jogging, running, and exercising might be considered to be some sort of cruel form of punishment. Nevertheless, they are generally healthy for you, and therefore, again, the point is that if you're doing jogging, running, or exercising in a vigorous manner, that's a form of therapy. And again, there's some people out there that seem to do these things for enjoyment. I just don't understand why. But whatever the case is, jogging while you're exercising, again, meaning working up a nice sweat on Shabbos, is a problem. That if it happens to be like here in Florida, it's 95 degrees out and 90% humidity, and you have to walk a half an hour to shul, well, okay, so you'll sweat. But again, to actually on purpose go ahead and work up a sweat through, again, a steamy, exercisey run kind of thing, no problem. And one cannot take in vitamins to improve one's health. A person is suffering from something and decides to take, again, now these vitamins to improve their health, that is an issue. Now again, if you have some sort of chronic type issues and vitamins are the way to treat it, you certainly should consult your rabbi. Again, we live with the laws of the Torah, and they're there for our benefit. And built into the very laws of the Torah themselves, both by the rabbis who made even their additional rules that they put on, have got all kinds of built-in clauses that your rabbis are familiar with, how to make use of in order to be lenient. And what do you mean by lenient? Meaning to open up the doors to permit such things, meaning that they are permitted by virtue of your problem. But again, you need an expert to let you know when that's the case, and seek out your rabbi when you need to. Okay, let's begin the next of the melachot, the hamraked, in the language of the Mishnah, sifting. So, what about sifting? It's using a device to separate out materials from a mixture, such as by sifting or straining with a device. So this is a problem. Well, okay, what exactly is it that you can do and what you cannot do? Well, let's do a do here, and I'm going to do right away the not do to help you understand what's going on in terms of what it means to be by sifting. Well, you can use a salt shaker on Shabbat. No problem. Grab your salt shaker, shake, shake, shake all you want. Again, not too much, bad for your heart. But what can you not do? Let's do the flip side. Use a salt shaker with salt and rice in it. And again, people add rice into the salt shaker in order to absorb the humidity, so this way the salt stays nice and separate, so this way it can easily filter through the holes of the shaker. But what happens is while you're shaking that salt, you're going ahead and you're actually straining or sifting, meaning you're holding back the rice and letting out the salt, meaning the end of the salt shaker is acting as a device for separating out materials from a mixture. And that is hamraked, that is sifting and not allowed. Okay, going to the other things that we have in our to-do list, pour off wine or tea, leaving behind the sediment or leaves. Again, so if you pour off, don't go all the way to the bottom, but you pour off the liquid, again, till you get to that point, not a problem. Removing large vegetables with a slotted spoon from soup is okay. See, that's not a mixture. If you got a huge potato, that's not called a mixture when it's sitting in the middle of a pot of soup. That's called a potato sitting in a pot of soup, and you can pull that out. What can't you do here? Well, you can't use, we said already, a salt shaker with salt and rice in it. Cannot use a tea bag unless it's removed with a spoon. Now, this, of course, is provided that you even hold that you can make tea with a tea bag on Shabbat. Just to quickly then review the process that would be permissible according to some, but not all poskim. You should definitely should ask your rabbi whether or not you should be doing this. My own personal custom and one that I recommend is to make a tamsit, to make a, go ahead, before Shabbat, prepare tea bags and put hot water into them and create a nice strong tea essence that you can then add to hot water later for the use on Shabbat. But nevertheless, let's go through the process here that would be permitted according to those who permit it. What you do is you use a kli shlishi, and God willing, next week when we talk about bishul, when we talk about cooking, and that particular malacha, we'll understand what kli rishon, kli sheni, kli shlishi is in detail. But for the moment, let's say, for example, I have an urn filled with hot water that's called a kli rishon. I pour out from that urn into a cup. Now the water in the cup is a kli sheni. Now I pour the water in that cup into a third cup. Actually, it's a second cup, so it's called a kli shlishi. So it's a second cup, but it's the third utensil, the first one actually being on the fire, meaning being the urn. So now in this third cup, you can place a tea bag according to those poskim that permit this, and go ahead and make tea. Now that tea that you're making there is going to go ahead and again, get all, ready and everything. But how do you take the tea bag out? See, here's the problem. You see, the idea of sifting here, there's a mixture now of the tea with the tea leaves and so forth inside of your cup of tea. So how do you get out the tea bag? See, if you pull the tea bag out by the actual bag, meaning you're going to use the little paper and string attached to it or the top of the tea bag and pull it out, the tea bag itself then begins to act as a sifting device, as a strainer. And therefore, you would not be allowed to take out the tea bag. So even if you can make tea, you can't take out the bag in that fashion. But what you can do is stick a spoon in underneath the tea bag. Don't press the tea bag against the side or anything to get out that last drop of tea. But you can then lift carefully the tea bag out and dispose of it. So again, it's not a simple process, even if you can make tea, to make tea in this third cup, meaning in actually the second cup of the third utensil. So again, put that aside again, and you ask your Rav, as we said, you have to consult with your rabbi on some issues. This will be one of such things. Again, so sift clumpy sugar through a sieve. By going ahead and doing that, what happens is, again, you're taking out the thin sugar, and the clumps are there, and you may actually end up grinding down those clumps, in other words, to go through there as well. But nevertheless, you're still immediately in the beginning, though. What happens is you're taking out the thin and leaving behind the thick. You're making a separation in a mixture using a device. Filtering out leaves, the tea leaves, for example, or filtering out pulp from fruit juice, filtering out sediment from wine. All these sort of things are things you cannot be doing on Shabbat. Alright, let's go on to the third melacha, the third category that we'll be discussing this evening, and that is kneading, lash. Lash, kneading. What is kneading? Combining very tiny items into a mushy or solid mass using a liquid. That sounds pretty good. Okay, so there we go. What can we do? Well, what you can do is place a lot of mayonnaise on top of horseradish. That's the opposite of normal order. Normally you'd have the mayonnaise and put a little horseradish into it, and then stir with the back of a spoon. So what happens is we have here a dual change-up to basically permit this questionable situation. Mix choco powder, making chocolate milk, into milk. Meaning not the other way around. In other words, don't pour your milk into the chocolate powder. Well, I guess the assumption here is you've got so much chocolate powder, as all of us may do, that this can create some real issues. But again, by going ahead and putting the chocolate powder into the milk, no problem. Mixing ketchup and mustard together, not a problem. Again, you know, hot dogs is probably not exactly the sort of thing you should be eating on Shabbat. But I guess if there's something else you want to put ketchup and mustard together with, you'd be fine. Anyways, prepare a loose baby cereal. Again, I repeat, loose baby cereal. By pouring the liquid first, then the cereal, and mix with the back of a spoon. That works out okay. Now, if you normally, by the way, do things a little different, I mean, I say pour the liquid first, then the cereal, is provided that's the way, the opposite of what you normally do. But if you normally did things the opposite, meaning you had the, you normally had a situation where you put the liquid first and then the cereal, then in this case you would do the opposite of it. But as an ideal situation, by the way, most baby foods can be prepared in advance and gone ahead and stored and then warmed up in a bath of hot water in a keli, and just let it float around in there and go ahead and heat up that way. And that's a much more ideal situation. But if necessary, producing a loose baby cereal will be okay in the following manner that we just said. Mixing butter into mashed potatoes, that's fine. Not a problem at all. Okay, what can you not do? Well, what you can't do is pour water into flour even without mixing. See, it's not just the kneading, as we said, the title isn't necessarily what's not allowed. It's the actual combining, using a liquid mass, using liquid to create this mass. That's what's asur. So therefore, even if once you put the water in the flour, you have already then entered into the violation. Mixing oil into a mashed avocado. This is going to be a problem. Again, you're going to make this sort of a mix. Okay, mixing juice into mashed bananas. That's a problem. Again, same sort of thing. You're going to need these mashed avocados, the mashed bananas, etc. When you're going ahead and you're adding liquids, you're going to make this clumpy mass out of it. In other words, the liquid is going to bind together these mashed pieces. That's going to be a problem. Mixing water with matzah meal. So that's going to be an issue. Okay, make a mustard poultice. Besides the fact that this may be for some sort of refuah purpose, as we said before, that's a problem anyways. But again, going ahead and putting together some sort of poultice to put on something or whatever else have you, to draw out a sting, something like that, that is going to be an issue. Make or even play with Play-Doh. So it's not just the making of Play-Doh that's going to be a problem. By playing with any dough, meaning by kneading a dough, is also part of the Asur, meaning it is improving on the actual dough, and therefore is including within the idea of Lash. Thickening a gravy, adding some starches and so forth to thicken up a gravy, that's a problem. And on top of the fact, of course, certainly included in this is making oatmeal or something like that. Again, making sort of a thick mix, something, you know, something along those lines. So even instant oatmeals and all that sort of stuff is not allowed on Shabbat. Included also is making a kosher type of jello or something along those lines, where again, you're going to go ahead and you're going to make this, like adding the warm liquid now to the powder, you're going to cause it to gel and therefore again knead together into a solid mushy mass that's again what we all like to watch it wiggle. Okay, anyways, that puts together the three melachot that we were planning on covering for this evening: Tochen, Rakid, and Lash, and valuing each and every day as we spend our time learning about the halachot of Shabbat and preparing for that special day which we call Shabbat, that in our observance of the Shabbat, which it says in Rosh Hashanah, that if the entire Jewish people were to keep and observe the Shabbat, the Mashiach would come, and so will it be, God willing, speedily in our days.